Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from FanRag Sports and NDT Scouting, along with Trevor Sikkema of PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Trevor, today we are talking about trade down candidates in the first round, teams that we think y'all should keep your eyes on, because they may be trying to slide down the draft order, stockpile a couple picks. The Colts would have been one that we would have probably kicked off the show talking about. They already did it, so we're right in retrospect. Well, actually, not in retrospect. Did we say it before the Colts moved down? Had we made that point on the podcast? I'm giving us credit for it.
You know what? We'll say we did.
Yeah, we'll say we did. We'll claim credit for it. Good call by us on saying that the Colts would move down, obviously.
Chris Ballard, obviously, big fan of the pod.
Yeah, huge fan of the pod. Huge fan of me and my comments about how what he's done so far as a GM, I'm sure. Other candidates in the trade down situations. Cleveland at number four, right? I mean, that, I know that Browns fans are kind of hesitant on that because they're like, oh, we moved around so much and now. But what if Cleveland could get like 12 and 21 or 22 and 35?
I think all Cleveland needs is one quarterback to slide and they're moving out of number four. Because, said this for a couple of weeks now, I really think that the draft is, there's a good chance the draft starts QB, 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 QB.
Oh, and for sure.
You know, people are like, Cleveland's not going to take two. Okay, I know that. I know that, folks.
They might.
What's going to happen is that I'm predicting that somebody's going to want to trade up. Now, I think the wild card in all of this is actually Baker Mayfield, because I think there are some teams that like Baker Mayfield. Obviously, we like Baker Mayfield. A lot of people in the scouting community like Baker Mayfield. But it's different. We've often seen this different on the other side. And so if Mayfield... If teams truly believe that Mayfield is a franchise quarterback, then I think we have a chance to have a legitimate talk of Cleveland almost getting a ransom for that number four pick. Mm-hmm. Because I think that we do kind of think that it's going to be some combination of Darnold, Allen, Rosen going in that top three or top four. Whatever Mayfield's value is, and now it only takes one team to believe. That's, I think, you know, that's obviously the crazy part of this draft, is that you have 32 different philosophies and 32 different moving pieces and franchises, obviously, that have different views with each of certain players. And so if one team just believes that Baker Mayfield is their guy, then there's a chance, I think, you could move it to four. But if not, then I wonder how sweet the pot has to be for Cleveland to move and not take, say, like Bradley Chubb or Saquon Barkley.
Right. And especially, let's think about this scenario. If the Giants take somebody that isn't a quarterback, that's when the price for number four really goes up and gets interesting,
yeah,
right?
I mean,
because then you're going to have two quarterbacks available on the board. And maybe, you know, Cleveland's like, doesn't care if there's one, you know, if there's one guy there, I don't, you know, how aggressive are the Bills going to be? You got to think they've already, you know, offered something pretty nice, you know, because if there's one guy there, the Bills probably have a good idea which one it's going to be. Do they like him enough to get to four? That's the big question.
I think the Bills already have an offer to Cleveland for number four, that Cleveland and the Bills have already tentatively agreed upon.
Right.
But Cleveland's not going to do it until they're on the clock, because depending on who's on the clock, Denver might start calling, Arizona might start calling. And I know I'm kind of giving away stuff that we're going to talk about in a little bit here, but, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's no reason for the Bills to move up to number 12. If they're not also trying to move up even higher, because, you know, who are they going to get at number 12 that would have been different from 21? Not a quarterback,
right?
You know,
right?
So, I mean, they're still behind Miami. They're still, you know, within a shot of Arizona. So I really do think that the Bills only made that trade with the Bengals because whether it's Cleveland or who knows, I don't know, the Giants, somebody, I think that they already have tentative deals in place. Maybe it's with multiple teams that they have agreed upon, but the teams are like, we're not going to do this trade until we're on the clock, because we're not going to give away our pick unless if the price goes up. So I think Buffalo has something in their back pocket. I think they're obviously a prime candidate to move up. That number four spot's a big deal for it, but I don't know. I don't think this is going to be. I don't think Cleveland's giving away number four until they get on the clock. I really don't.
Yeah, you might be right, and it might throw everything. And, you know, and that's probably not a bad decision by them, you know, because like you said, depending on maybe there's some unknown about what the Giants will do, and depending on what the Giants will do, that could really, like, the price could go up for that pick, you know. they could have multiple offers. Where right now it might be the Bills, two quarterbacks are sliding, they might be getting a lot of calls all of a sudden. And so I think the Colts and Broncos are staying put, seeing what happens and staying put.
Would you rather, sorry, I'm going back to Buffalo here because somebody brought this up the other day. Would you rather have Buffalo's number 12 and number 22?
That was me.
Or Buffalo's number 12 or first rounder next year?
Oh, somebody brought that up. I'm sorry. I thought you were talking about something else. I would rather have both first round picks this year. For sure.
I'm with you.
For sure, because you don't know where Buffalo's picking next year, so you're running that risk. You know where they're picking this year. You know probably who's going to be available. You have no idea about next year. And this team is, honestly, this roster is talented in Cleveland. It's not like this is we can call it a rebuild because they didn't win a freaking game last year, but talent is not the issue. If there's a rebuild that needs to happen, it's the coaching staff, especially now. They have enough talent to win. I'm not saying they're the best team in the league, but, you know, acting like this roster needs rebuild is just silly, in my opinion. You know, that process of bringing in talent has really happened to a degree. Yes, they've missed on some key pieces too and ignored some key positions, which hasn't helped them. But eventually, with all the picks that they've had, you know, they're going to get some things right. So, you know, there's enough talent here to be a competitive team in the NFL. You know, 0-16 isn't competitive, and that was on the coaching staff and, you know, the quarterback play that they had there. So, yeah, I want the picks this year. And plus, the way the board falls, I mean, they could get a corner there. They could get a running back there with the Bills' second first-round pick. And, you know, I think McGlinchey's got a great shot at being on the board at 12. To me, that's a home run draft. Then you have 33 and 35, too. Essentially, five first-round picks. You don't pass up on that. I know it's not a great class or anything, but you're going to be able to find your guys if you draft smart with five top 35 picks. Who else? Let me ask you this. Do you think Tampa Bay trades down? Do you think there's a strong possibility of that? I don't think there is from the outside looking in. You're closer to the situation. You think there's a chance Tampa moves?
I think that they'll obviously keep an open mind about it. But just because they are picking at number 7 and the way that I think that this draft is going to go, there is going to be one of Bradley Chubb, Quentin Nelson, Derwin James, or Saquon Barkley on the board at number 7. There just aren't enough picks in front of them, knowing how many quarterbacks we think are going to go in front of them, that's just not going to be the case.
Right.
So even though I know Tampa enjoys trading back, Jason Light loves his draft picks, the GM. And obviously they just gave up a third rounder to give up JPP. He'd love to give himself another third rounder or something higher even on a trade down. But if one of those four guys that I just listed are still on the board, I think they've got to be the pick, even though they want more draft picks. I know that for sure, but I don't think they're going to pass up on any four of these guys.
Yeah, I think Bucs are staying put. It gets interesting in Chicago to me and San Francisco, to be honest. You know, Chicago's kind of quietly taking care of some needs in the offseason. They still need a linebacker to replace Jarrell Freeman. I still think that's a very distinct possibility for the Bears. You know, Tremaine Edmonds and Roquan Smith could both be there. But here's a hypothetical, as if the quarterbacks are sliding for whatever reason. Baker Mayfield may be sliding down the board, and the Bills want to move up or the Dolphins want to move up. You bump back a couple spots, you're still going to have a chance to get one of your top guys, and I think it's a similar scenario for San Francisco, is because they have needs at safety and in corner. And you could see Denzel Ward here. You could see Minka. You could see Derwin. You could see Roquan. You could see Tremaine Edmonds. You could see Harold Landry at number 9. You know, there's so many options, and I don't know that they have just need picks, man. The roster still isn't very good in San Francisco. You know, Jimmy G can only mask so much there right now. And so I think that this team needs picks, and by moving down, they can do that. And Chicago's a team with an interesting situation. Now wide receiver need is softened a little bit, but if you can add a third round pick by moving down a little bit and complete that receiving core, or, you know, move down and grab Isaiah Wynn to complete your offensive line. Remember, they lost Josh Sitton. They haven't replaced him. That left guard spot is still wide open. Wynn's a plug and play guy. They ran a ton of zone. He ran a ton of zone at Georgia. I don't know if Nagy's going to run exactly the same stuff, but I'm sure there'll be a good amount of zone mixed in given who Jordan Howard is as a running back. I think it's a perfect fit. So there are options for Chicago and for San Francisco if they move down that could be really appealing. Plus, they get a couple extra picks, which I think is huge for the way both these rosters are headed.
You got to think about what players that they might be targeting, though. You know, like who's obviously. I think it's pretty easy to talk about trade backs in the top 5, top 7. But even though I definitely agree with what you're saying on the logic of both those teams possibly looking to trade back and the benefits that they could have picking, getting some more draft picks, who's trading up with them and for whom?
For whom?
Yeah, four hoops.
Well, that's what I said. Buffalo and Miami, I think, could be the options to trade up to potentially swap with one of those. Let's say hypothetical situation. The Giants take Bradley Chubb. The Jets take a quarterback. You know, Cleveland stays put at number four. You know, the Denver could even, you could even say they could take a quarterback, and there's still one probably sliding on the board. You know, the Colts aren't going to take one. The Bucs aren't going to take one. The Bears aren't going to take one. The Niners aren't going to take one. The Raiders aren't going to take one. So then Buffalo may be like, oh, Miami might take one. Or Arizona might be like, oh, you know, maybe I'll need to jump up. Or Buffalo and Miami could both say, wow, that quarterback's falling. I want him. And there's a chance the Saints or the Chargers or somebody else that's looking for their quarterback in the future could try and jump us and grab that guy off the board. We want to ensure our spot and give away a third rounder to move up, whatever it might be, whatever the cost might be. They may want to ensure that, you know, Buffalo is going to try, even if the quarterback slides, Buffalo is going to try and get up ahead of Miami. I really think that. And maybe Miami's not that interested, but if somebody's there on the board, a quarterback at 11, and they know Buffalo's sitting behind them at 12, I just think they're going to think long and hard about it. And I don't think the quarterback will be there, though, because I think somebody will make a move. Either
Miami
the quarterbacks
doesn't
will
have
go
a plethora
super
of
early.
Picks, though.
Yeah, they don't. No, they don't.
I think they just have seven, right?
I think Miami would be less inclined to move. I think Buffalo would be more inclined to get ahead of Miami, or Arizona would be.
Arizona only has four picks, though.
And that's my whole thing with
Arizona. Like, if Arizona moves up to get a quarterback,
that's
literally
the only pick. They're going to have to be in love with a quarterback. I don't see it happening. I don't see them being able to move. I think Arizona actually, to be honest with you, and I know I just kind of made the case for them to potentially move up along with the Chargers or Saints or anybody who could be looking
for
the quarterback
in the future.
Well, they could just be movers. I think they're going to move down, Arizona, if I had to guess. They need picks. Their roster
is
quietly one of the worst.
Do you think Arizona would move back end of the first round, or do you think Arizona would be cool with moving into day two altogether and picking up like three or four day two picks?
Well, I mean, I think that they could move back in the first round and still get, you know, I mean, it wouldn't have to be maybe that many spots. You know, it'll depend what kind of offer they get. I'm not exactly sure who would be trying to move up at this point. You know, that's a little bit harder to predict who's going to be trying to move up. It could be a team, you know, moving up from the back half.
Who's the most likely? I'm kind of putting you on the spot. We didn't talk about this before the show, but, you know, you're a smart dude. You'll figure it out. what prospect do you think, like, realistically, like, would have the most trade value and like the, like from like 10 to 20, who might be like fallen? Like, is it like Minka or Harold Landry? Or like, if there's a guy that starts falling, who do you think the teams in the back end might be like, okay, we need to go up and get this guy?
Yeah, Minka or Landry or Roquan, probably. You know, Landry, high value position. I don't know. Everybody's talking about Minka falling. I'm just not. Like, falling? Like, what did we think he was? Did, you know, I guess some people thought he was going number four to Cleveland. I don't know. Like, I mean, it makes sense there, but yeah, it's less about the player sometimes, more about fit and stuff like that. I don't think there's anything wrong with Minka, and I think he's still going to go plenty high. I think that those are probably the big possibilities. You know, and it honestly could be Lamar. Could be Lamar Jackson if there's
that
maybe. Type of
Lamar,
interest.
I think Lamar is the biggest, obviously, wild card in this entire draft.
It's probably. I mean, because there's a strong possibility that somebody could move up for Lamar to try and get, you know, to where Arizona. And Arizona could be a trade back candidate. They don't love Lamar. If they love Lamar, I think he's going to be there at 15, and that's the pick. If they don't love Lamar, I think somebody else in the draft may like him a lot, and try and ensure that you get that fifth year and you lock down your quarterback. You know,
yeah,
and you just get ahead of somebody like the Chargers or another team that could consider a quarterback. That could be a spot to move to. You know, whether you're New Orleans, you know, I don't think it'll be Pittsburgh, but a team like that at the back end of the first round, you know, that has thought about that. I know we've talked about Jacksonville, Minnesota. Obviously, Minnesota's off the table now with their contract with Cousins. It wouldn't make much sense, but that's where you get to the other interesting part: is who really needs a quarterback. Let's say the Bills can't move up and they stay at 12 and they don't want to take a quarterback at 12. And they want to move up from 22 to make sure that they get Lamar, maybe at 15. Maybe that's their mindset with things, or you know, to one of those spots ahead of them. You know, they could definitely be another mover with 22 as well. We haven't talked about that a lot. So I think Arizona is a candidate to trade back. They need multiple picks. They need offensive linemen. If McGlinchey's off the board, I don't know that I would pull the trigger. I like Isaiah Wynn too, but again, I think they're targeting tackles, and I don't know that I would pull the trigger there on anybody else. So I think moving back could be the best thing for Arizona, getting a couple extra picks. I don't know. Other move back candidates. You know,
the problem is you can find a lot of I say problem, and I don't know if it's a problem, but like a lot of these teams that are picking in that teen area, that 10 to 20 area, they are going to need a couple of the pieces going to be left. And so I think every team in the NFL is always a candidate to move up and back. But, you know, just like the situation with Tampa Bay, I think Tampa Bay is obviously a prime candidate on paper for a team that you would think could move back in the draft. But I mean, if there's a talent at a position of need for them, they're just not going to move.
Right.
I think Green Bay could move, but I think there's going to be too many options for them sitting there at 14. Like Landry might be there at 14. Minka might be there.
I think
they're
staying.
Josh Jackson might be there at 14. I don't know.
I think they're staying. I think Baltimore's staying, given who might be on the board at those points. I think they're – and the only way I can see Baltimore is there's a run on an offensive lineman right before them, and they want to move back and take a receiver. That's the possibility, I think, for them.
Could happen. Or yeah, if they like happen, a handful right? of could, them, you know. Could.
Yeah. But I think you get to those late teens, I really feel like Dallas, Detroit, Seattle, when are they drafting that high? They're going to love somebody. You know, they're not drafting that high very often, even at 18. You know, I think they're going to like somebody there. Dallas, Detroit, I think those guys are staying put.
I think the interior defensive line and the running back class make it kind of prime for Dallas and Detroit both right there. Mm-hmm. I don't think both those guys leave. I don't think both of them
move. The candidate to trade up back into the first round, I think, to me, if they don't get their quarterback in the first round, I still think it might be Denver. I still think John Elway's going to want – say they take – they but love Quentin Nelson and Lamar Jackson sliding or whatever. I think they could move back up and take him. They could be Mason Rudolph. I think he's going to want to come away with this draft with one of his top two picks.
Oh, no question about that.
Sure, on the quarterback position.
No question about that. I just wonder if they go up.
There's a chance he could lose out on all four if they stay put at five and quarterbacks go one, two, three, four. I think they're a candidate to move back up. Giants could be too, I guess, if they pass on a quarterback early in the draft and then scramble to try and get one to get back into the first round.
The Giants are taking the quarterback, man. The Giants are taking a quarterback.
At number two.
Why would they not have taken the Jets trade if they're not... You know,
Jets apparently didn't talk to the Giants. That's what the recent report is. I don't understand why.
Well,
I think they talked.
I think they did too. I don't know if I believe all that.
Yeah, that's a little. Why wouldn't you? This whole crosstown rivalry thing is so stupid to me. Who cares? What difference does that make? They're not even
Can't
in the
wear
same
those colors
conference.
Around here.
Yeah, like, oh, the Giants wouldn't trade back and get tons of assets to help
their
organization. Yeah, who cares? They play like once every 4 years. What in the world difference does that make?
They're never going to meet in the Super Bowl.
That's the dumbest thing I've heard during. I've heard a lot of dumb things. That honestly might be the dumbest thing I've heard during draft season.
Yeah. How prideful could you be?
Yeah, like you would not help your own organization to do something that wouldn't hurt your organization. That makes no sense. So stupid. But anyway, that narrative's out there. And the Giants, whether they got a call from the Jets or not, you're right. They love somebody at number two. I'm so confused now. This is the problem. We go through the draft process for so long, and we start hearing all the different voices. And, you know, the Browns are drafting Sam Darnold, right? It's been a virtual certainty. Now, you know, Peter King and Dan Patrick say that they think they like Josh Allen, and they're playing up their Sam Darnold like so that the Giants feel like they need to get over top of Cleveland, and then Cleveland moves back to number two and takes the guy they wanted all along, and the Giants move up to number one, and they take Sam Darnold. If the Giants can't get Sam Darnold, they're not taking a quarterback. And
here's my theory with that Cleveland at number one talk with the recent stuff that came out. Cleveland, the initial report, I think, 2-3 weeks ago, might have been Ben Albright who said this, Cleveland is taking Sam Darnold number one unless they're blown away by a trade offer, right? Yep. So the more Cleveland can hype up any of these other quarterbacks being talented enough or thought of highly enough to go number one overall, it only helps them. It only helps them.
Right. Especially Darnold.
Not only at number one, but if any of them are left at number four. So anything that you read from now on, we here at the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast Network are going to try to sift through the lies and deceit that is April.
Oh, it is. We could make a book out of the lies we heard last year at this time.
Yeah. So, like,
I think this is one of those lies.
Listen to this podcast. Cleveland is taking Sam Darnold.
Yes.
The only reason this stuff comes out. I mean, like, the MMQB article was literally a friend of Dorsey told them this.
Yeah. I've heard from people that work for the Browns and that are around the Browns all the day, media members and stuff like that. They say that place is on absolute lockdown. There's no way Dorsey told one of his buddies to go blab to the media. Come on. Like, no way. No way. The Dan Patrick thing is a little more interesting.
They're doing that on purpose to hype up all of the other quarterbacks.
Especially Darnold, because they think the other teams value Darnold the most. So they're going to hype him up as much as they can. See if they get a great offer. And if they don't, they're keeping him. They're taking him. That's what I think. I'm ride or die with the Sam Darnold to Cleveland narrative. It's going to happen. So there you go. There's our trade scenarios. That's how we think things could move around, shake out. I mean, there's always going to be other ones that occur to us later on after we finish recording that we're like, oh man, why didn't I say that one? But those are some of the trade back and even a couple trade up different situations for teams. Marriages that could happen, players that could be targeting, especially Chicago, San Francisco. I think those are two big top 10 guys that could move down as well. So a couple different scenarios for you. We'll be back tomorrow on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast with more incredible, amazing content for myself and Trevor. As always, jump on iTunes, leave us a review and a rating. You guys have been really kind to us during draft season. We're looking through the reviews, loving the things you guys were saying. Do apologize. I know some people talk about the audio levels at time. It is very difficult when you record from two different places. Even though we both have good mics now, it's just difficult when you record from two different places with two different types of mics and we don't have like the broadcasting system per se to get the levels perfect all the time, especially with us, you know, kind of moving. We're interactive on the pod. We move around a little bit. We're mobile. So
it does. I talk with my hands all the time on the podcast. You guys just can't see it.
I do too. Yeah. But yeah, other than that, you guys have seemed like you've really been enjoying the pod. So as always, shout out, suggestions to us, things like that. We'd love to hear all that kind of stuff, but yeah, appreciate you guys leaving us reviews and ratings. Keep doing that. Keep bumping us up. We've cracked the top 100 in iTunes several times now during draft season, and it's been awesome. The show's really just been doing great, and we really appreciate you guys and all your support for it. So until next time, you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.